مولانا روم رحمة الله عليه في كتاب مصنوي There's three kitabs. One is Quran Sharif. Second is Bukhari Sharif. And the third is Masnavi, Mawlana Rum. These three kitabs, they say, is Al-Bayli. In other words, nobody has the ability to contain the vastness of the knowledge that is contained in this kitab. This is why you'll find people are writing commentaries and they exhaust themselves, but the meanings of the Quran Sharif keep on flowing. You write and it flows. The more you write and the more it flows. The same applies with the Bukhari Sharif. The same with Mawlana Masnavi Mawlana Rum. So Mawlana Rum Rahmatullah says, whatever you are, Baz are, come back. Whether you are a Buddhist, whether you're worshipping an idol, whether you have defied and broken the laws of Allah Ta'ala, whatever wrong you have done, come back. Ye dargah ma, dargah na umidi neest. Our threshold is not a threshold of despondency. Come back to your origin. Come back to your original self and you will see that our forgiveness, our pardon will embrace you, no matter what you are, what wrong you slipped into. But you come back to us sincerely and you will see that the doors of repentance will embrace you, they will accept you straight away. So this is the barakat of that kalima la ilaha illallah, that a mu'min must never at any time lose hope. Sometimes he is covered with the ash of the sin, right? On the surface you can't even see the iman. But the ember of faith is somewhere hidden deep beneath the ash. You just have to scratch the surface and you will find the noor of iman sparkling. So no matter what the mu'min may be, he must not become despondent. And we don't make him despondent. That light that may be under the ash may be so powerful that he'll put us to shame. It just needs a little bit of an opportunity to expose itself. When it exposes itself, we'll understand that we are nowhere compared to this person here. So some people's iman is like that, that it's covered with a heap of ash, but the iman is very, very strong. It's very powerful. It just needs a little bit of expression. In the old days, talking of 200 years ago, a criminal used to be brought in Afghanistan and he is proven guilty for murder or whatever it was, and then they would kill him. But how they would kill him is they would put him into the cannon and they would fire the cannon. So the guilty is brought, the criminal is brought, and he is brought right into the cannon. And when he is brought right to the cannon, he is saying La ilaha illallah. And when they fire the cannon, he is broken into piece fragments. but distinctly you can hear Muhammadur Rasulullah. Distinctly you can hear the sounds that he is saying, Muhammadur Rasulullah. So he may have been a criminal in his own way, but Iman was deeply entrenched in him. So in that state also, he could not forsake the Iman. Up to recently in Medina Munawwara, the Bedouins, the villagers, it was a common place amongst them that if they are quarrelling and they are in the deep of a quarrel, to the extent they have pulled out their daggers, and one person will come and will say, Salli ala Muhammad, read Durood Sharif. The moment he says, read Durood Sharif, everybody's anger is just subsided. Everybody's anger is subsided. So there is that Iman in them yet. But just that we can't seem to perceive that Iman. And because we can't perceive it, so we underestimate. We don't understand. So the right thing is not to lose hope ourselves if we have slipped into any wrong, and not to make the next person despondent. Give him hope. But that is the one side of it. And the other side of it is that after plunging into wrong, we don't just blatantly go on committing wrong. Done wrong, alright, done wrong. But now we defy and we go blatantly committing wrong. Now this is not right. Sometimes what happens is that when you blatant and you go on committing the wrong, then it reaches a point between our Iman, between our faith and disbelief. What are we going to choose? Because there is no barrier now. You've broken, all the barriers are breaking down. There were barriers between you and disbelief, there were a lot of barriers. And the barriers are breaking down, they're breaking down. And you're not concerned about them breaking down. So don't go and blatantly break those barriers. Allah Pak has put those barriers there that you just watch your step, watch your mark, see what you're doing. Don't go and break them down blatantly. So this is the other extreme where a person goes and blatantly breaks those barriers of Allah Ta'ala. Then you will see one day, na'uzu billah, he will slip into disbelief. You'll hardly see a Muslim, you'll hardly see, I don't know, that will fall into apostasy, that he will renege from his faith on account of him having any doubt in Islam. It's not because of any doubt and suspicion. There's one of three reasons that he will fall into apostasy or disbelief. Either wealth, some type of wealth and comfort, wealth, woman, whatever. Number two, some position that is being promised to him. Or number three, it's on account of ignorance and jahalat. When a person has turned away, then it's one of these three reasons. I haven't seen anybody falling into disbelief for a valid reason, that he really found something wrong in Islam, na'uzu billah, therefore he moved over. Because if he couldn't understand one thing in Islam, then there are thousands of things that are in Christianity or Judaism or Hinduism, which is, forget suspicion and doubt, is absolutely false. Absolute junk, absolute fabrication. In spite of it being fabricated, right? Then do you fall into it? It's impossible. How can you? You see, there's something inconsistent here. If it's inconsistent here, there's millions of things on that side. Then how do you abandon this and go into this? So a Muslim falling into disbelief, it's unthinkable, unimaginable. It doesn't happen. that faith is deeply rooted in him. A child, a small child will say, Mere Aqa Leja Madina Mujhe. From the childhood, he's got that love for Makkah, for Madina Munawwara. So it's unlikely, unthinkable that a mu'min will fall into this. But if he falls, it's because of one of these three things. Either some comfort, some wealth, or woman, or it is some position, or it is because of total abject ignorance that he will get out of his faith. So these are two extremes. One is that we become despondent or we make someone else despair. And the other is this, that we go blatantly and break the barriers of Allah Ta'ala. When we go on breaking the barriers, then come right onto the border and then you slip. Like a person, for example, he's divorced his wife thrice and he knows that it's haram. His conscience is telling him it's not right, but he goes on living with her. And he knows that he's divorced thrice. When he's divorced thrice, that woman is haram for him, but he goes on. He's embarrassed of what people will say. And he goes on living in this haram relationship. Now, he's put himself into a very dangerous situation. So when you know that you are haram and you go on living in that, then one day you will slip in. You will slip into that disbelief. Or you're doing haram business. And he goes on and on and on. And that consciousness is beginning to leave him. What I'm doing is wrong. He becomes unconscious, unmindful of what he's doing. So then one day he'll fall into disbelief. If I can break this, why can't I break that? If I did this, I came to this point, why can't I do something else worse? So he will abandon his faith as well. So these two extremes, you have to be careful. Don't go into the extreme of despondency, nor go into the extreme of defiance. No matter what you are, go on trying. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah should say, Girte parte lastam pastam bas chalte rao. No matter what you are, go on trying. You're falling, you're breaking, collapsing. No matter what's going on with you, but go on trying. One day you'll come to the other end. So this Iman is indeed a very great gift. The least that a mu'min can do is go on trying. Each person, according to his capacity, according to his means, what he can do, he must carry on, continue. We're speaking about adherence to the Sunnah this morning, and many of us would like to be very close to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We would like to see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But remember, that happens. It happens to a lot of people. But if you haven't seen that sweetness, or you haven't seen Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in your dream, whatever it is, don't become despondent. Don't lose hope. All what you need to do is go on trying. And each one has a capacity. See, like someone is walking on foot, someone is on a bicycle, then someone is in a slow moving car, then he's got a very fast car, and someone has got a jet, right? And someone has got a warplane, right? So each person will travel according to his capacity. That person is walking on foot, if he has to travel to Johannesburg, then perhaps it will take him 3 weeks, right? And he'll reach. Bicycle, maybe 2 weeks. Motor car, maybe very slow car, 2 days. And a fast car, maybe in 5 hours, 6 hours. And a jet, maybe in 1 hour. And the fastest jet, maybe in half an hour. So each person has a different capacity. But what you are required to do is go on. Just work on. Allah Ta'ala will bring you to the next point. Don't break that capability or that courage of yours. No matter what you are, Allah Ta'ala will bring us to that end. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib kare. Read Yasin and then read, make some zikr.